Hello, everybody. Welcome to this special episode of Thank the Light. White Cloaks from the YouTubes, the YouTube channel @White Cloaks, were kind enough to invite us on for a nice little conversation. And it was really cool. It was live. It was a lot of fun. And on this podcast, we are just going to show, we are not going to show anything. We are going to just play about the first half of this conversation. If you would like to finish the rest of the conversation, there will be a link in the description notes so you can go finish it. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the content in this episode. We got into some kind of deep political and social issues. In what you're going to listen to here, we dabble in it a little bit. If you go over to White Cloaks discussion, Wolf Brothers, a conversation with Wolf Brothers and White Cloaks. You will finish the rest of it where we delve a little bit deeper into that. And I just wanted to say, I think I speak for everyone at Thank the Light. Let me just say that the opinions given in this episode and the episode that continues on YouTube, those opinions are that of the person making them and don't necessarily represent the opinions of Thank the Light or especially Desmond McNeese. While I think some good points are made why specifically the Wheel of Time or the Wheel of Prime, as we call it in this conversation a lot, could have stuck to the source material and still managed to maintain diversity and inclusion, I, as a white cis male born in the 1970s, I don't feel comfortable in general feeling like diversity and inclusion are a bad thing, even if it diverts from the source material a little bit. I have no idea what it's like to be marginalized for the better existence of the universe. And so if we have to change some source material to get some diversity and inclusion in our media, then I am not going to argue with that. So that being said, enjoy this conversation. It's a great conversation, but just be open-minded and actually, you know, listen to what people say. I think they make some good points. But like I said, you know, it's not about making good points anymore. It's about fucking, you know, moving on as a society and culture in any way possible. Enjoy this conversation with Wolf Brothers and White Cloaks. And also, the quality of this episode may be compromised a little bit because I wasn't able to get, you know, everybody on their own track. I have me on my home track, so I sound fantastic as always, but then everybody else, White Cloaks and Wolf Brothers alike, are all crammed into one track. So I apologize for any crosstalk that gets cut off or anything like that. The quality of this podcast is that of this specific podcast and does not represent the audio quality of Thank the Light in general. Enjoy.
We have our guest, so I'm going to invite Desmond to join us.
Hello!
Hey, Desmond.
What's happening?
Not too much. We are in the process of thanking everybody that came out to join us, so, you know, you and yours as well, but...
Now you can see my pretty face.
There it is. You got some lighting going
on. It's a little
on.
Bit better. I lost one of my lights today, So I'm a little left lit right now. So I've got that whole Picasso shadow going on.
Ah, the ideal angle thing. I get you.
Exactly. All right. Here's Justin. He's texting it.
I got you.
I don't know. Am I well lit?
You're as always, Dan. You knock it out of the park, especially on the lighting. Sometimes the sound is a little questionable on your end, but the lighting is always good. I know.
There's apparently some old video out there somewhere. I forget whose stream it was on, but doing the Rafe leaked script ASMR finger blast scene with Egwene. I'm pretty sure that's on the internet somewhere, and I'll never live it down.
I gotcha. Desmond, were you? Oh, have you seen that leaked script?
No.
Oh my God, it is wild.
There's a very open debate whether or not it was better or worse than the actual final production, because it did include some pretty ridiculous shit, like Guitar Moroso wanting Moraine to kill the dragon.
Oh.
But it also apparently had the Dark Rider on the Quarry Road, which would have made a lot of sense.
We need to get Justin in here so he knows what you're. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the ninth chapter of the fourth book.
Oh, okay. Jealous.
Yeah. You should be caught up on all this stuff.
Okay.
So Guitarra Moroso was the Aes Sedai that sent Moraine and Swan searching for the dragon.
Yes. Okay.
She was the one who had the prophecies.
Okay.
But she didn't say kill it in the books. She kind of orchestrated Rand's whole birth, right? By sending Tigraine to the Aiel Waste. Hints at it and by the fourth book. She also precipitated the whole Aiel War to get the Aiel to cross the Dragon Wall so that Rand could be born on Dragonmount.
Oh.
But she was not all about getting Rand murdered by the first Aes Sedai she sent to go.
Now, do we learn this in the books proper, or do we have to learn this in New Spring?
You learn it in the books proper.
Okay.
In part, it requires reading comprehension, but it's things like Guitarra Moroso kind of egging King Laemon of Kyrian on to cut down the tree.
Let me tell you how I finished book three. I finished book three on 1.7 speed, driving to the movie theater so I could watch Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny for a different podcast.
Okay. That's okay. I never saw that movie. Was that movie as rough as everybody makes it out to be?
My other podcast is a time travel movie podcast. So, like, you know, I will listen to anyone who says it's not an actual good film, but
okay,
it's a fun time travel ride. I mean, you know, it's so funny. People always forget. Sorry, we're getting way off wheel of time topic here, but people forget how fantastic Indiana Jones is from the jump. You know, like, as terrible as the fourth one was with the aliens, like,
I haven't even seen the fourth one.
When Jesus melts your face off in the first movie, like, sorry, aliens are not that far.
not far afield. That's fair, but that is actually a comparison that I actually have heard in regards to the second season. That is, people were so unhappy about Egwene and Nynaeve not, or Elaine and Nynaeve not saving Egwene, that their attitude was, well, those two characters could have been entirely removed from the season and it wouldn't have changed the plot at all. And one of the counter responses was, well, that's the same. You could say the same thing about Indiana Jones, that, you know, if Indiana Jones hadn't been in the first movie, they still get their faces melted off by the Ark.
They would have found the Ark, taken the lid off, and died.
Yeah, but that's a legitimate deficiency of Raiders.
I agree.
I need to take another break here. I'm trying to get Justin in here.
All good.
For more Thank the Light, head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome.
I see Jeremy down here, and it appears that his mic and camera are not connected. And as soon as he gets one of those two in, I can let him in. Now, is Jeremy the? I know there's three of you guys, and as I listen to you, I sometimes get you flipped around. Is Jeremy the hardcore book guy, or is it the other one?
Jeremy's the original hardcore book guy.
Okay.
Jeremy bumped into the books first, and then introduced them to Justin. They're cousins. Growing up.
Okay.
And then I started the books after the show start. Justin tricked me into starting this podcast because when he said there's this show coming out called The Wheel of Time, I'm like, well, that sounds like a time travel TV show. That'll be a great sister podcast to my time travel movie show. 2 years later, I'm knee deep. in fantasy book lore, and I can't get out.
That's funny. That's actually really funny. All right, so I'm going to pull Jeremy in here and then apologize to him because I want to say thank you to a Prophet of the Dragon for gifting one membership. If I ever figure out how StreamYard works, I will let you know who got that free membership.
Can I have it? Because I honestly, I have no idea if I've got any type of special. I'm on this freaking channel and everybody's a mod in chat except for me, so...
I'll send him a Wheel of Time. I'll send him a Thank the Light sticker. How's that sound?
There you go.
Yes.
But star of the show, I think, is Jeremy. So wanted to welcome him.
Let's hope not.
Ah, okay. Now, there's three of you cats. So are we expecting a third one on, or is it time to kick off?
He's working on it. He's going to try his other laptop real quick. And then if we get a thumbs up from that, then we should be good to go.
I can empathize.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
General.
I because of this was happening, I was like, holy crap, I've never live streamed before. I should like check my internet connections. And like, I didn't realize how badly I've been nerfing my internet connection with bad dongles and wrong Wi-Fi connection. And so I've like literally tripled my speed in the last 2 days in preparation for this. So,
wow,
I'm zooming.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Oh, we know all about that. Remember when we were doing our rewatch, Alex, and Pips basically had to stream the actual episodes from his spotty North Carolina internet that kind of went down whenever there was a thunderstorm.
That was it is amazing to see how far we've come on this stuff.
I live in the country, so I know exactly what it's like to have spotty internet or bad internet for a long time.
I'm going to then I guess kick this off. But generally, when we start off, we get a new guest on, we kind of ask, what was the your introduction to the Wheel of Time series? Sort of how'd you get here? So I think Desmond answered this a little bit. So I'm gonna pose it to Jeremy first.
Yeah, I started off, I think, I want to say I was probably 13 or 14 and was at the bookstore and just saw the cover. And I went, oh, that looks pretty good. And I bought the books, took it home, started reading it, and was like, wait, only girls can use the magic? Lame. So I put it on the shelf and it sat there for like a year. And I was, I was kind of a dumb kid too. So it sat there.
You were 13. Like we were all dumb when we were 13.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
A very reasonable position to have when you're 13.
Absolutely. Yeah. Girls are gross and I'm the coolest thing that's ever lived. So then that's probably the next summer. I'm sitting, like I said, I grew up in the country. So I'm sitting around bored out of my mind, can't drive, can't do anything. And I go to the old bookshelf and I pull it off the shelf. And this is probably 91, I'm guessing. And I started reading it and then got through the first three chapters and I just couldn't put it down. As soon as they leave the two rivers, it's like, oh my gosh, it's off. And finished that book and then went straight to the bookstore, The Great Hunt
Dragon Reborn.
The one after that?
Desmond's even standing there like, it's the Dragon
Reborn. TDR. It's TDR to the cool kids.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yes, all right. I'm not a cool kid.
It's like Harry Potter. It's just year one, year two, year three, year four, like book one, book two, book three.
Got a new member, Zax. Appreciate the membership as always, man. Love you guys. And one of our earliest supporters back before we were kicked off of Reddit. So he's been the man even before the White Cloaks YouTube existed. So Desmond, I guess you're up next. You said Jeremy kind of twisted your arm into this?
No, Justin. So
he thought it was about time travel.
Yes.
There's an element to that, but he needs to learn about Balefire in the next book.
Yeah, Balefire. And I keep hearing about this like this town that's stuck in a time loop, which...
Yeah, that's a Sandersonism. That's...
That is...
If you don't like Sanderson, then Rafe Judkins is really a shit heel.
Right? Like, I tell you what, man, if there was anything about this playthrough that really made me, I like Sanderson more than I ever thought I was going to after watching this. And I think we have our third wolf brother here. We're welcoming Fatty, who does not live up to his name.
he's living fat.
I got you.
Rocking the Batcave lighting more than I did.
Right?
Well, I sort of live in a large trailer.
I tell all my friends, like, if I could get Fatty has the best sound. I produce and engineer and edit 7 podcasts. Justin has the best sound of all 12 of my hosts because he sits in a trailer full of pillows. It's like no echo.
Yeah, you can hear every bucket in high def.
That's well, nice.
I shit you not. Our podcast or rewatch director Pips was complaining so much about my sound not that long ago. I actually had to move a whole shit ton of pillows into my fucking room here just so he would shut up about it.
That's awesome. So
seriously, I set 7 cushions from the deck set that I had, and I even pulled in some of the leather ones from the couch and my mom's quilt and just laid it around. And apparently it sounded better.
Right. You made a little pillow fort for yourself.
Yeah, I did. Then I just bought this fucking pop filter, and I think that fixed everything.
This thing right here, I just bought this mic. It's got an internal pop filter.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh. Fucking love it. Getting nice and
that's
close.
All professional.
Nice and close.
Sweet. So Justin, then all of our new guests get asked the question, how did you get introduced to the Wheel of Time?
Uh-oh.
Look, there we got some rural internet again.
Sorry, guys. I had to switch computers real quick. And so it's, yeah.
Remember, Justin, I can't edit out all of your tech talk this time. So
all of my dumb shit stuff that I say.
Oh,
nice good. To meet you guys. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So I guess first question then is what are you drinking? And then the second question is how'd you get involved with the Wheel of Time?
Tonight I'm drinking some Buffalo Trace.
Ooh, there you go.
Sweet bourbon whiskey. What about you guys? You drink anything good?
I'm not. Trying to be good this time of year, and it's absolutely killing me.
I work in the cannabis industry. There's no being good.
Every day is a party. I gotcha.
That being said, Wheel of Time, actually, this dickhead over here that we can't see, Jeremy, he introduced me to it when we were kids. He's my cousin, and I think I was about, I don't know, probably 14-ish or so, maybe a little later. But yeah, I started reading it then. He's like, man, you got to check these books out. And fell in love with the characters, obviously, and the story. Just like a lot of people, reread them every time a new one came out. And just, you know, my parents taught me to be a really good employee, but Robert Jordan taught me how to be a better human. So
that is absolutely a reality. I make a joke that the Great Hunt is the how-to book on how to be a man. I think it's accurate. So I guess the Wheel of Time, the fan edit guy, said that it was a big suggester that we talked to you guys about the Wheel of Time, both because you have some excellent book takes, but also because you guys apparently like the show more than we do, which is not a difficult bar to step over.
Like I said, you guys might be auditioning Jeremy for your next member. We might be training that out.
Well, I was telling Alex before that, well, there are parts of the show that I like, but it's kind of limited just to Elaine's left tit and her right tit, and that's about it. That's like a solid.
This is
going to
be fun. I'm going to get. I got to catch
that's
up.
That's like
I'm gonna drink
solid 5% of the airtime, right?
Well, that's what I refer to as that area that you speak of. I refer to as Dragon Mount.
Oh, there you go.
Or Nynaeve's resting bitch face. So,
yeah, no one likes that. But it's more
which
like...
is not solving every problem in the show, as Jeremy likes to point out. Well, not second season, just first season.
Yeah, just the first season.
Oh, was that
weird? Second season, Egwene solved everything.
Right. I mean, yeah,
just the cause of and solution to all of her own problems.
Yeah. weird how that works.
But no, it's like, okay, maybe if it does make it to like the sixth or seventh season when Elaine has, you know, in Abu Dhar and going to get the oval cutout dress, I got something to look forward to at least. But like, that's it.
That bad, huh? Like, there's nothing that you like at all. Like, even like Hopper and Perrin's little moment of like learning his name.
Hopper's a dog.
I love dogs.
I love dogs too, but he's a dog in the show. And... And you can tell how
you can give him whatever name you want.
He's still a fucking dog.
He's still a dog, and that's how they basically went into the backyard of some Czech dude, and like had him jump for dog treats, filmed it, and then like put a filter on it, and that's kind of what they put in their little ghost image thing, and then Pern is like, okay, oh, you're Hopper. Not, you know, he gets sent a message like he wants to soar like the Eagles and fly, and he always wanted to fly. Hopper's kind of a derivative, kind of shorter nickname. No, it's literally, it's a dog hopping for treats.
So what you're saying is he's not Turner or Hooch.
No. Neither one.
He's not even fucking Air Bud, and I'll give that one to you, Alex.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you're like
Beverly Hills Chihuahua style.
Yeah, Zach's correct. It's not even a big dog. It's like a. That's actually one of the things.
Yeah, dire wolf. It is not. That is true.
I got a more intimidating dog than Hopper from the show.
Me too. I got, and you know what? My smaller. Okay. All right. I kind of disagree with you there.
Fitzy sighting.
Okay, you know what? That dog does look vicious. Look at that tongue.
Oh, look at it.
Liquor license. Yeah. Look at it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, Jared, you know, I'd have to say they're wow. Okay, first of all, let me just say I tricked Desmond into starting this podcast.
I love how we've trickled in here.
Okay. Did he already tell you the story of how I tricked him into it?
He's a time travel buff. He likes
I was like, Wheel of Time. He was like, awesome. And I started talking and his eyes rolled back in his head and he was like, cool, let's do a podcast about it. And then, you know,
anything that will shut you up about the stupid books.
I'll break all your Transformers more. Again, bitch. Shut you.
And it turns out
you're to look pretty. I can't even see your face.
you think the whole series is about cyclical time and that it's just like one of the seven ages and it's very linear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is quite linear.
Time is cyclical. You know, allow me to tell you the story of one cycle.
No. Let me tell you the story about like 23 degrees of arc on that cycle. That's about it.
Yeah.
On a seven-spoked wheel.
On
of
a
all
seven-spoked
things.
Wheel.
Why seven? Why seven?
Jeremy makes hates no seven.
Sense. It's an irrational.
It
number.
Perfectly distributes the weight and the time.
It's prime.
It's prime.
So I will admit, man, I will definitely, you know, this is something I found out. I think I loved even more than Jeremy. I read these books. You know, I still read them and listen to them all the time. And it's one of those things that you want to love so bad. I find myself being an apologist for the show a lot. Even though there are things that I enjoy, I would prefer it to be done more of like, Jeremy's actually pointed out a few times on the pod, more like The Last of Us. It's more of a straight across, you know, adaptation, and you get a lot of fan service, which, I mean, when we're really talking about, no matter, I mean, all the bullshit on Twitter and going back and forth, and that's really what we want, right? We really want the story that we know. I think that people like Randy Jeffcoat try to go too hard, you know, as far as like, we don't want you people who have known this whole story for 30 years to guess everything we're going to do. It's like, we don't fucking care.
Yes.
We just want to see the things we want to see. Where the fuck is Matt? Why is Perrin's mouth open so much? Who's this wife that he killed? You know, all of these things that, you know, I want to look past because I want to love, you know, I liked how the Trollocs look. Ishmael is a great character. I think the casting is nailed. The sets are wonderfully beautiful. The writing can be good and bad. The acting's pretty good. There's a lot of things to like, but it's still not
okay.
The things that I want in Wheel of Time. Right?
I need you to hit us with those one at a time so we can talk about them.
Sorry. Pick whatever you want. And
well, that's is that how we're gonna do it? One up and we try and knock it down.
Might as well. I mean,
Jeremy's been knocking me down for a year, so it's, you know, I'm ready.
Fatty is standing tall against criticism, so good luck.
I mean, the Trollocs crack us up because what we fucking die laughing at is there's two kinds of Trollocs. There is the Trollocs that are normal sized that can run and fight, and then there are the Trollocs that are 5'11". And then there are the Trollocs on stilts that can't do anything. They can kind of sort of lumber. And once you catch this, it ruins everything. The other problem with the Trollocs is they were in the first 4.5 minutes of season 2, episode 1 and didn't show back up. So like, you know, we can say like, man, we really like the Trollocs, but like, I'd like,
where are they?
Trollocs to be in the show. Like,
well, that was answered in the show, Alex. They were just hungry. So obviously someone gave them like some food and they're no longer a problem.
They give you an Uber Eats card. You can fuck right off.
Right. I mean, exactly.
Could the battle of the...
Go ahead, Red Robin, bro. Endless fries.
Right. If only we had would have known.
We had the show with the editor on, and I think it was, I think we were just discussing when the trailer first came out, and he said, this is just, you know, this is our show because we throw out all these theories that they're not going to start the show.
Theories of how it
there's no way. He said, there's no way they're going to start the show with that. That's going to be like in the middle of the show because there's just no backstory to it. And, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but they started off that show. There was no backstory to it. And then nothing came of it. When the when Ishmael shows up, he has the little girl running around.
Talking about the Dark Friend social that was
the Dark Friend social, exactly.
That was like that was filmed in a room that like if Patton Fane had to back his chair up to piss, Ishi would have had to stop because he couldn't get around him.
Yes, excuse me. I'm sorry. It'd be like Tyler Durden trying to get off the plane. I get the crotch or the butt.
The usual question is asked, do I give him the balls or the ass?
And it's like, you know, from a like in a visual medium, you want a sense of scale. Like you look at like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, Saruman like giving the speech to the Uruk-hai, or like in Dune, like the new Dune movie, you have the armies of the Sardaukar. And it's just like, if you want to make a villain intimidating and powerful, you put him in a big room addressing a large amount of people who are scared of him. Having him in a fucking closet as you talk to somebody, I mean, that's just bad filmmaking. Like,
yeah.
And he was being nice to the little girl. Like, honestly, the one thing that could have maybe saved that one scene is if he fed the girl to the Trolloc at the end.
I was ready for it to happen. I was like, he's going to do it. And that's what you expect.
And then it didn't happen. So congratulations. Expectations subverted. I thought the show might do something good once, and it didn't.
Well, and the one thing they're doing, and, you know, if good, bad, or ugly, you know, consistency in one form or another at least shows you're thinking about it. And they're making, if you've never read the books, you're not going to read the books. You're just, you know, you're just watching the show. You're probably pretty sucked in about who the bad guy is right now. And if you paint them the way the books are, or I shouldn't say bad guys, like we kind of know who's a darker shade of gray and who's a lighter shade of gray.
But that's an issue.
But it's not, it's an issue for, now, if you've read the books and you know black and white who these people are, then yeah, it kind of drags on. But I still maintain that if you're making this show, which, like it or not, they're making this show as they're hoping to do a little bit of fan service, but they're also just trying to make a pure television program. And in any TV show, it kind of like they, you know, by the middle of season 3, you're like, who am I rooting for? Who am I rooting against? Which is annoying for people like you and me. But, you know, if you're just in for the ride and hope this lasts 8 seasons, then, you know, keeping you on your toes is not a bad thing.
Any more seasons.
I'm going to reject that notion on two fronts. The first is the idea that it is, if we're saying that this is exclusively for non-book readers, Hopper makes no sense. Like, Perrin losing his shit over Hopper's death makes no sense whatsoever. You need the books to give you the context of that in order for that to make sense. I'll give you another example. The Fade nailed to the door.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying on the basis of, like, you know, us not knowing cut and dry black and white that Patton Fane is the worst of the worst, or that Ishmael is the worst of the worst.
No, it seems to be like since the anti-hero got elevated in television programs. Ostensibly, you can probably point back to The Sopranos. You can point back to Breaking Bad. Characters that do bad things, but you still want to root for them.
Yeah. Like Leandrin, if you don't know Leandrin from the books, you're like, she might be okay. She's just...
No, she's not Leandrin from the books.
What was Leandrin's first show?
Leandrin in the show was incomprehensible. Her character motivation didn't make sense, good or bad. She was just insane. But the thing is, with fantasy shows, and Game of Thrones is an extension of, all right, the anti-hero, at least in part, because if you read the books, the first characters you all get introduced are good characters that all kind of get thrust into bad situations. So you can see how circumstance forces people against each other.
Well, the noblest characters are killed first in Game of Thrones.
Tyrion Lannister, who's on the team of the bad guys, right? That gets set up. Like all your characters, as you're reading through, they're all Starks, and you're rooting for the Starks. You're meant to root for the honorable Starks. And especially like when Jaime and Cersei, Bran catches them fucking, and you're just like, wow, these people are depraved beyond everything. But Tyrion's kind of off on the side, and he gets caught up when Catelyn Stark basically abducts him at the end of the crossroads and whatnot. That was kind of cleverly well done. And the best part I like about reading Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, is how George R. R. Martin can take a depraved character like Jaime Lannister, and by the third book, actually make you empathize with him.
Yeah.
And dare I say, start to like him at the end and root for him a little bit because he starts to...
But whenever I restart the books, right, I have to basically gain some perspective on here. Like he is not, you know, a cut and dried black and white character. That's fine if that's what that is. But the Wheel of Time is not that. The Wheel of Time has got a creator. It has a dark one. It has good people. It has evil people. It explores evil in different kinds of ways. And what I actually very much like is pointing out one of the reasons why the light succeeds in the Wheel of Time is that the evil people cannot get along. So show the Forsaken, who all had different motivations for turning to the dark, but because of their inherent selfishness, they cannot cooperate. And yes, they've got all the knowledge, all the power, all the history of the Age of Legends on their side. It seems like they've got all the advantages, but because they cannot cooperate or work together, and they're constantly fighting each other more than they're even fighting against Rand, that's kind of allows him to triumph in the end. What a wonderful theme to basically take and run with. So why do you have to show me what I've already seen in Game of Thrones, what I've already seen in The Sopranos, what I've already seen in Breaking Bad? Why can't you show me a, you know, straight up good versus evil story? Because that's what was written, and 90 million books, man.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a built-in audience, you would think, that people want to see.
Yeah, audience, but it's what you need. Because if you're 90 million books, you have a built-in audience. If that built-in audience turns around and starts shitting on your show word of mouth, it's dead.
Yeah.
It's dead on arrival. That's what happened.
Well, that's because Jeremy's buying 3 copies of each book. So those numbers,
you're not wrong.
Those numbers are faulty increase.
I'm going to try to play devil's advocate for you guys, because that's it's hard to argue with, you know. I'm the type of fucking moron that, you know, the new Star Wars that just came out, the last 3, they're terrible. Mm-hmm. I still watch them sometimes. I love Solo. That's me. I'm happy enough with the things that I do that are ghosts. You know, what I'm happy this is that it's not Legend of the Seeker. one of my questions for you. It's bad. Don't worry. You don't need to see it.
Please don't.
It's real fucking terrible. Yeah, please don't.
My question to you guys was, if there were,
how dare you? It's not.
The books aren't as good. I agree with you on that. But
after the third book, it just becomes dungeon porn. So it's not great. It's very good. It's got some issues.
So it gets better
for you, maybe. not for us.
I heard.
No, I mean, like, I want to disagree with
anti-communist
you.
Dungeon porn.
yeah.
It's seriously. Yeah.
He's not wrong, dude.
All right.
I want to disagree with you about things, but I mean, you know. making Leandrin such a large character and having her divert so much from the book, I think takes away from the story. It takes away from the storyline of kind of the Wonder Girls kidnapped. You know, there's, I want to love so many things and they just kind of bungle it. I mean, obviously so, you guys think more than kind of, but I mean, there are things that I want to look
at. Do you mind if I take this one?
Yeah, go ahead. And if you don't hit
rush
on
me.
If you don't, I will. All right.
Oh, okay. So when it comes to Leandrin,
I feel like I got invited on to be a punching bag, but that's
no, not at all. Not at all. So the first issue that I would take with the Leandrin argument is, what was Leandrin's first scene in the show? It was her gleefully cackling at her basically doing a for lack of a better term, a lynching of a dude with her red sisters in the tracks.
I mean, that's more or less what it is.
So
she was Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
Cut off his balls.
But not only Judge, Jury, and Executioner, she laughed and belittled him while she did it. So if you need to convince me that this is a complicated, non-evil character, my first impression of the character can't be her gleefully, magically lynching a guy. I mean, that's
fair. People forget about that.
So that's a problem. But the other issue, and you touched on it, the Leandrin problem is, why was Leandrin second in dialogue this season behind only Moraine? I mean, this wow, show. Yeah.
Well, and wow. Moraine.
That's
only
not surprising, dude.
And she was number one up until the last episode.
Yeah.
Episode 7 or episode 8. But people complain all the time. People say stuff like, you know, Leandrin is better in the show. But my question is, at what opportunity cost? I mean, you can't say, you know, Leandrin is better, but then say Rand, Matt, and Perrin suck and are underdeveloped because one is the cause of the other.
Right. Also, Kate Fleetwood's great. That doesn't mean that she needs to run the second season.
To be in every.
Like, she's a fantastic actor, and the scenes they give her are well done, but they don't make sense and they're not needed. We need more Rand and Matt. And that's my biggest thing. It's like, and I know Barney Harris and all that shit, but fucking A, where's Matt, dude? You said that Great Hunt is a playbook how to be a man and a bad friend. Matt's a lot better friend after that because he's kind of a dick before that. So in the books anyway, but the fact that Matt's not there, the fact that Perrin is underdeveloped, like you said, and just they ruined his character the whole first season. He's like fucking Eeyore in the corner, which made Perrin is probably one of the characters that I identify most as an adult, as a dad, as a husband, as far as like his loyalty to people and his love for people and the willingness to do things that most people wouldn't even consider to save them. Then they've just ruined his character the first season, so I really hope it comes around.
So just if Alex didn't kill you yet, I'm just going to point out that this kind of goes beyond Leandrin with the show, especially in the second season. It's something that I noted.
Oh no, she's the only problem with the show.
No, it is.
And Jeremy's shitty opinions.
if we think about other characters that had kind of a lot of screen time or more screen time in season two than they ever showed up in the books, we'd have to extend that very much so to Alana and the two warders that double penetrate her. We'd have to extend it maybe a little bit to Varen, but definitely definitely Cho Chang Sedai and Tiny Sedai.
Jeremy. These are your friends, people, dude.
In the brown Aja.
Moraine's sister.
Do we have enough time for you guys to discuss Moraine's sister?
I'm getting to my point. So there is Anver, or Anver. She shows up in a single line in A New Spring, and she was basically the like third most important character this season. Barthanas, who's apparently her son, who likes his butter and jambon sandwiches that we got a lot of detail on. We had we had Sheriam and some of her nonsense,
and Miss Bliss.
Yeah, and we had some more stuff with Swan Sanche. And at the end of the day, none of those characters were in the final episode.
Yep.
So the episode where the whole story had to wrap up and come together, and even Brandon Sanderson was on the stream and saying, like, wish they had more time and did this and did that. Wait a second. What do you mean more time? You could have followed the plot of the book and just cut out Barthanas and putting butter on both sides of the bread, and you probably would have gotten a shitload farther. And you could have had Rand sneaking through the fucking woods on Kinslayer's dagger, stealing the horn back from Padden Fane, right?
Yeah,
you could have been great. You could have had Rand with Celine, not fucking yet. Like, apparently that relationship is already gone.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare take away their
don't
fucking...
take that from Destiny.
That's Jesus Christ.
No, no, no.
That's the thing. It's like Robert Jordan's
getting into Tremontsia.
So subtle.
Getting into Tremontsia and seeing the Chodan call, right? And getting that little bit of foreshadowing and that danger and Lance, well, Celine kind of pulling him back from the precipice, being genuinely frightened for the first time. You could have had Tom back in the foregate. You didn't have to do like a 30-second scene with some guy in a gleaming cloak or someone like with a puppet trollic or whatnot. You could have actually had a genuine kind of reunification moment. There are so many good scenes from The Great Hunt that they could have done. And instead, we got Onivere wanting a fucking tea party with her little sister who is older than her.
Damn it. And I hate to even back you up, but that whole scene where they're on the cliff, him and Lanfear, when they're about to fuck or whatever, that could have been the part where you put the Chodan call instead of having him kill a Fade with like some weird fire sit down power. But,
yeah, but when they're sleeping outside of the cabin that was fully lit and had a fire going in it.
And warm. Yeah, that also Jeremy and I made fun of that too. But you know, it's like it's one of the things that kind of like God, I'm fucking agreeing with you guys and I want to punch myself in the dick about it. But
you'll be here all night, man.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's seriously, dude. It's you know, no, this is a lot of fun already, actually. But it wouldn't land the same because they haven't. One of the things that is the biggest problem with the show, besides the fucking five-headed dragon, and the dragon might be a girl. The dragon's a girl. There's no fucking problem, right?
Yeah, there's no fucking plot.
I don't want to get you started. Trust me, I don't want to wind you up.
But my Swan Sanchez said it in this fucking season. She basically said it.
Yeah,
this would be so much easier if you were a girl.
But, okay, but it's DB. They're trying to keep the mystery.
Okay, God, I wish I could see
Jeremy's face right now.
Dan, we need to let our guests talk.
Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome, where for $3 a month, you can receive an exclusive episode every 2 weeks. If you would like to continue to support the show for free, we just ask again that you please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Wolf Brothers at Parstahelman. We are Wolf Brothers at Parstahelman, or Facebook, where we are the Wheel of Time podcast. Send questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and coming soon, we have Movies Are Us, where you guessed it, we're going to be talking about movies that you could find at the wonderful brick and mortar store of Toys R Us. If it's a game, if it's a board game, if it's a video game, if it's just a good old-fashioned toy and they have turned it into a movie, we are going to discuss it very soon. Stay posted for the soon-to-be-released podcast, Movies Are Us. You can find it at whatsoundsawesome.com, along with All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find it at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.